Welcome to the house of God this morning. So good to have you with us. Amen. God's blessings on you in a great, great way, huge way. We're certainly living in different times right now. By the way, that band sounded awesome. Worship was incredible, wasn't it? Amen. Living in some different times, and we get messages each and every week of this virus attacking others and the effects of what's going on right now, and we're certainly not oblivious to that. We're certainly mindful of what's going on. But we also have faith in God mixed with wisdom of God. So God gives us wisdom, and God gives us faith. And the wisdom side of it is that there are things that we need to do. I like kidding with some people and say we're not to lick handrails and lick doorknobs. You know, there are things that we need to do and maybe not do. But we need to have faith in God and trust God that he's going to cover us in everything that we do. And we're going to continue having services on Sunday as long as the Lord wants us to do that. And I believe that he's given the leadership the clear message to do that. And that's why we're here today. And we're doing our best to accommodate that and to be wise in that. But we're not to live in fear. We are not to live in fear. And so I pray you, those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live right now on YouTube, be posted tomorrow and connected to us in other ways remotely. You need to do what God has told you to do and to be wise in that. And I've even talked to someone this morning that feel like they need to stay in. So there's no condemnation to those that are joining us. Thank God for technology where he can use that even to get the word out. So we're here remotely, and we're also here in person. And those of you who joined us this morning know that we're conducting all this in a state of wisdom before the Lord, and God giving us direction to do what we feel like he's calling us to do. We're also acting in faith, and we're serving God. We're being mindful of how big God is, and he's greater and more powerful than anything we face. And so let's stay grounded in that. Amen. So thank you all for being here today, and thank you for joining us on Facebook Live and YouTube as well. I've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit found in the Word of God, and today we'll wrap up the series of the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are it's almost like I like saying that we're given a gift at Christmas time by those that love us, given a gift. What do you want for Christmas? I know Chris will ask me every year, what do you want for Christmas? So she gets that thing whenever I figure what that thing is, I figure it out, and she gets for me. But it doesn't do me any good until I open it up and do something with it. And so God gives us gifts. There are many more than these nine gifts that Paul outlines here, but these nine gifts are spiritual gifts, and there are gifts even beyond that. God has given gifts and talents, nothing else to look good like Anthony looks good. Gifts and talents just to allow God to live in and through us. But we're given those gifts to open them up, to develop them, to mature in them, and that's our responsibility, right? God has paid the price for even our salvation, the gift of salvation. He's given us even more gifts to help our life in God, in Christ, to be successful, to be productive, to be mature, not only for us, but to those around us. You know, there are people gleaning the presence of God through your actions and through who you are today. People that you don't even know of, that are encouraged by who you are. So we're going to wrap the series up today, but our scripture, our focus scripture, is found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, and it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you," which goes back to developing those gifts. So my prayer today is that we will allow God to give us the gifts, to impart those gifts to us, to be receptive to them, and then God give us the wisdom to develop them, to grow in them, and to mature in them. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. As I express what I feel like you've put on my heart today, Lord, may we grow in you. May we mature in you, Lord. We don't want to stay young and baby and frail, but Lord, we want to mature in you to be more mindful and to give us insight into who you are, how big you are, and to also help others around us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul outlines these nine gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verses 4 to 11, it says this: "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we're all to profit from these gifts that God has given us. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. We'll cover that today. To another the interpretation of tongues. We'll cover that. So these are the last two. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as God wills. Different kinds of tongues is referring to us learning and developing a heavenly language. So don't get that confused with me trying to learn Spanish or French or German or any of the other languages. So what Paul is talking about here is the gift of tongues, different kinds of tongues, meaning that we speak according to the Spirit. And so today, these two gifts that we're talking about today aren't taught very much in churches today. Why? Is because we can't really explain them well. You talk about, do you speak in tongues? Do you give the interpretation of tongues? These gifts in the Word of God are, we can't explain them like we can maybe the gift of discernment or the gift of faith. But it's as real, as powerful, as unique, and as relevant in the church today as it ever was. The gift of tongues. God created this muscle in our mouth, in our body, called the tongue, for us to form words of communication to express our heart. So that's literally the purpose of this. Now, I know it's good to taste things too. That good ribeye and that good baked potato with cheese and butter and that biscuit and all those good things that I enjoy so much, banana pudding. All those things, the tongue is good for tasting good food, but it's also for communicating. God's purpose, I believe, for the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues is to communicate our heart to God and also to express God's heart to us. And so the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, is that way. Why does God have to use that? Couldn't he do things a little differently? He could do whatever he wants to do. And that's the way he's chosen to do that. That's the way he has chose for us to express our heart to God, as we'll get into in just a moment, of saying things that we're not sure how to say. I think us men have a little more time doing that than the ladies. But it's our way of communicating. We communicate in the natural, life or death, but we can also communicate spiritually in what God is trying to say to us. But we all need help seeing what's right, don't we? I mean, that's our human tendency. Sometimes, has anybody ever said something that you wish you could take back or said a little differently or phrased a little differently? We've got one who hasn't. We need to talk after church. We need help in saying the things that are right. And the gift of tongues, the gift of tongues helps us to express that to God. And God takes what the expression of our heart, and he knows what we're saying even without us being able to verbalize it well. And then he communicates back to us many times in tongues, and we are called to interpret that. And that's where the gift of interpretation comes from. But James has an interesting way of telling us our ability to tame the tongue in James chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, but no man can tame the tongue. Well, isn't that encouraging? Stick that on your refrigerator, huh? No man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so God uses the very thing that James calls unruly to be a blessing to us, to others, and to the church. Isn't that just like God, to do the impossible? What James says is unruly, and you understand. I mean, we can all understand what James was saying. James was saying, hey, buddy, you've got a job on your hands if you think you can control yourself without the Spirit of God, what you think you need to say and do. And so it shows us that we need the gift of God even in our natural formation expressing our heart. But in the book of Acts, we're going to read the story here in Acts chapter 2 of where all 120 people came together in unity, one mind and one accord, the Bible says, and the gift of tongues fell on these who were in that prayer meeting that night. It says in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I love what my pastor, Pastor Ligon, says. That's where Honda was formed, Honda Accord. They were all in one Honda Accord. But he's just playing when he says that, but that's pretty cool, isn't it? Those of you who have a Honda Accord, you know that it's in the Bible now. But they were all, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were in a spirit of unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled, underline the word filled, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let me say, there are a lot of topics that we could talk about today. There are a lot of things that we could talk about, but you know what? If it's in the Word of God, we should give time to not only talk about it, to teach it, but also learn it and apply it. Amen. So I believe that there's importance on this today, and this is to bring clarity. This is to bring encouragement in these two gifts today. And so the gift of tongues is supernatural. It's beyond our ability to explain it, much less many times to know how to apply it. But the gift of tongues, I believe, are for two purposes. The first one is to encourage yourself. The gift of tongues is to encourage yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Isn't that interesting? You have no clue what you're saying. You're in your mind, you're babbling because you couldn't say the same thing twice if you had to. But yet God uses that gift of tongues as we speak, as we express our heart to God. He uses that to build us up and to edify us. That's big. That's big. The gift of tongues, if you will, is a way to communicate with God in code. As I was studying and praying this week, funny story. As best I can remember, I was in about fourth grade. And me and my buddies, we got together. And we said, uh-oh. Somebody said, uh-oh. Me and my buddies got together. I was in fourth grade, and we talk about developing talents. We did that, and so we wanted to communicate in code. So we got together and we took the entire alphabet, and we used a letter in the place to represent. In other words, the letter A may have been represented by X. The letter B may have been represented by R. The letter C may have been represented by U. So we come up with a code to where we could communicate in code where nobody knew what we were talking about. This is fourth grade. I don't think I was even in fifth grade. And so we put together this code, and so we would, and the whole purpose of this for us to plan our activities after school every afternoon, that we would kind of be on the same page, know where to meet, what we were going to do, and those kind of things. And of course, we never ever got in trouble doing it. Of course not. And so we formed this code to where, and everything was great. We would communicate, and we would make plans and all that together after school every day. And my mom was a teacher, and these other guys were left at school. So we had some idle time on our hands, so we had to plan what we were going to do and where we were going to go, and so we did. And so everything is going along real good until one day one of the teachers intercepts the note that was meant for one of my buddies. And so I think she went by his desk and put it on his desk, and then she just stood back and watched. Well, when she found out who all was in the little group, they called us into the principal's office one by one so that they could get our own story rather than all of us at one time. They were smart. They were on to us. And so they got me in there, and they prodded and pressured and said, what does this mean? This is, we can't read this. What does this mean? I don't remember what. Only thing I remember after that was a paddling. That's back when they gave paddles at school. They said, bend across that desk, you're getting a paddling. And I had two or three of those. But we talked in code, and that's the way our interpretation, the interpretation, God only knows what we're seeing in the Spirit. We talk in code to God, by the gift of tongues, but the devil does not know what you're saying. The devil doesn't know what you're saying unless you say it, unless you tell him. So there are many things in my life, there are situations in my life to where I've been in a place to where Crystal and I both have been in a place to where we're not sure what to pray. We're not sure what to say. We know what we're feeling. And like I said, you ladies have probably a better job, better idea of how to do that than us guys, is to express our heart to God. I mean, it's like, Lord, do you see what's there? But the gift of tongues gives us the ability to not know what we're saying, but God knows what we're saying. And the devil is trying to interpret it. He's trying to get the code in what you're talking about so that he can try to intervene and stop whatever God's trying to do. And then, on top of that, God uses that communication that you and he have together to encourage you, to build you up, the Bible says, to edify you. I mean, that's huge. Have you ever been praying about a situation, a problem, that you didn't know how to verbalize, didn't know how to say it, didn't know how to express it, much less have an answer to it? I mean, you haven't even gotten to the problem yet, much less the answer. But God gives us the ability through the gift of tongues to express our heart to God. And many think, well, the gift of tongues, you've got to be real spiritual. There's only one requirement. That is to name the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to believe in your heart, and to confess him with your mouth. So salvation comes in. You know what? The rest of these gifts are for you. He doesn't withhold any gift from his children. What qualifies you as his child? You believe in him and confess him, and that you follow him. You'll be a disciple of Jesus. So let's first establish that God doesn't exclude this small group over here. Like, you know, I was raised up in a church to where you had to be extra special. You had to do things right. You actually had to keep your hair cut. That's back when I didn't want to have my hair cut. You had to keep your hair cut and had to do certain things to qualify for God to give him your gifts. But that's not right at all. God gives his gifts to those who have a heart for him, who want to serve him, to love him, and live for him. So all of God's gifts, including these two today, are for you, for his children. Why? To build you up, to edify you. Do you ever need building up? Of course we do. Now probably just as much or more than ever to be able to see beyond the current circumstances. Because if we're not careful, we look at the limitation of the current circumstances in our life and we get bogged down and focused on that, where This is just a temporary thing, y'all. It doesn't matter if it's 3 months or 3 years. It's still temporary. And we will come out of this, and we'll come out of it stronger. And so that's the eyes that God wants us to give us to see that we're going for the long shot. We've got to keep our eyes focused on him, our determination in God, our faith in God, to stay rooted and grounded in him, and to use these gifts that he's given us in order to make it victorious. I love that a lot of what we're singing about this morning was God's victory. We opened up this morning talking about God's victory. A word came today relating to God's victory. We need to remember that the gifts of the Spirit are given to us so that we have victory in him, and the tongues and interpretation of tongues are two of those gifts that God wants to use in our life. So we can actually say things to God in the Spirit that we can't verbalize in the natural. Have you ever been around somebody and they're speaking another language, and when they give that language, it's like they go on for about 5 minutes, and then the interpretation takes about 2 seconds? Hey. So there are things that we can verbalize in the Spirit that we can't verbalize in the natural, in the flesh. And God knows our heart. But the devil does not know your thought. The devil does not know your heart. The devil does not know your communication to God. He wants to, but he doesn't. There's no way for him to know that. Matthew 15:11 says this: not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. It's what we speak. It's what's coming out of our mouth. And the devil knows what's coming out of the mouth. And if we learn to speak the word of God, and if we learn to speak the things of the Word of God, then that's the thing that grows life. That's the thing that produces life, is speaking the Word of God. So the gift of tongues teaches us to say more in the Spirit and to say less in the natural. sometimes it's best that we not say anything except by the Spirit. Amen? If our country was in an active war today, and their conversations to come up with a plan to defeat the enemy, if the conversations were being heard by the enemy, do you think that that our country would communicate with the captains and all those that were on the front lines, telling them exactly what they were going to do, where they were going to go, the exact location, the very time that it was going to happen, knowing that the enemy was listening? Would they feed all this information? Certainly not. There would be some sort of code. There would be some sort of knowing that the enemy is listening. He's trying to come up with a plan to defeat you. And so the Spirit of God gives us the ability to communicate with God and Him to communicate back with us, with the enemy being totally confused about what's going on. You don't want to let the enemy know what's going on. You know, I know of people that have given their plans and their future goals, just spilled them out. Just talk about it, put it on Facebook, go everywhere with this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. You know what? It never happened, because not that it wasn't meant to happen, but they just spilled their beans, they spilled their goal, they spilled their life, they spilled their life ambitions to the wrong people. And you know what? Those people decided that, no, you're not going to do what you think you're going to do, and I'm going to make it stop. Now, we know that God's power is greater than that, but I'm just giving you a word of wisdom this morning. Be careful what you say and who do you say it to. There are some things that aren't meant to be repeated, and if they are, they're meant to. That's when the Bible talks about counsel, wise counsel, making sure you've got key people that are close to God, that love you and that want the best for your life. And thank God we learned that a few years ago, is that it's okay to have goals, it's okay to have ambition, but you don't want to put it out in the wrong newspaper. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this: likewise, the Spirit, capital S, also helps in our weaknesses. Everybody, no matter how great the army is, no matter how great the soldier is, there are weaknesses. And the Spirit, in our spiritual weakness, we all have them. You can't pretend like you don't have a weakness. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, the Bible says. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is going to take reading a few times. I would say make a note of this scripture and read it and think about it, meditate on it. This is a lot bigger than what I've got time to go into. But the Spirit of God, the tongues, interpretation given to us, a gift from God, as we express those things to the Lord, the Spirit Himself gives us strength in our weakness. The Bible says He Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Goes on in verse 27, says, now He who searches the heart, remember when I said God knows our heart? He knows the expression of our heart. He knows the intent. He knows the purpose of our heart. He knows if we're being divisive. He knows if we're being forthright. He knows if we're being evil. He knows if we're being good. He searches the heart. See, and what I just said is not to bring condemnation on anybody. It's to encourage you that God loves you in spite of sometimes your stinking heart. Right? See, David didn't always make the right choices. But what does the Bible say? God loved him anyway. And so David came through that. Now, David made the choice of whether to turn back to God or to not turn back to God, just like we all have the choice. But the Bible says He, speaking of the Lord, the Spirit of God, searches the heart and knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the bottom line, we all want the will of God. Nothing less. We can't, I would say we don't want any more. Well, there's no more. I mean, the will of God is, there's nothing above that. But we don't want anything less. And so as we express our heart in the Spirit to God, the mind of the Spirit, the Bible says, makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And if you don't know what the will of God is for you, remember that it's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory. Every level, every circumstance. So the gift of tongues is to encourage yourself, to encourage us. The second reason I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak in unknown tongues and the interpretation is to encourage the church. Now we know how God feels about the church. The church, the Bible says, is his bride. God loves the church. And so the churches in America have ignored the gift of tongues. Why? Because it can't be explained. You know, it's possible that it could offend someone, and it has, because people not understanding and being taught the importance of it and the priority of the gift of tongues. And so many churches in America are afraid of it, and they're missing. It's like a wheel on a car. You're driving on three wheels. It would be a lot smoother with all four, right? And so the gifts of the Spirit, there's a purpose for all of them. So the gift of tongues sometimes makes people uncomfortable. But it's for the church. 1 Corinthians 14:39. It says this, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." Did I read that correctly? Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Now, I'm as analytical of a guy as there are, and I like the gears. I like the making up. I'm the one that took a little guitar amp when I was about 7 years old and took it apart just so that I could see what made the thing tick. Sean, I knew you plugged it in the wall, but what made the speaker? So I took everything apart so I could try to figure that out and put it back together again. My dad said, "What are you doing to that?" I said, "I just want to know what's in it." And so many times we look at life that way. We've got to be able to understand it, take it apart, and see what makes it tick and operate. But there are some things that God doesn't want us to know how it ticks and operates. And you know what? If he told us, it would blow our mind. It's so much bigger than we are. So God wants to use the gift of tongues, even though we don't understand it, we can't explain it. He wants to use it to encourage us anyway and to encourage the church. We're not to forbid to speak with tongues, is what we just read in 1 Corinthians 14:39. The gift of God was created to bless us. The gift of God was created to encourage us. The gift of God was created to encourage the church body, even though we cannot explain them. I'm doing my best to explain to you today in human terms, terminology. And so the interpretation of tongues, on the other side, is simply the describing into human words what God is saying in spiritual words. And so there are times in our service when tongues will come, a message in tongues will come, and the message in tongues, you have no clue what's been said until the interpretation of tongues come. Crystal and I were in Guadalajara, Mexico, just a few years ago, and I was invited there to speak in their Bible school there, and their students, and John and Judy Whitener, and then to speak for the graduation of the students there. And so we arrived, and my Spanish hit real good. Yeah, Crystal says no, it's not good at all. And so when they asked, I mean, this is a South Georgia boy in Mexico, and those guys probably wondered, what planet did you come from? And so as I expressed what I was trying to say during those classes and during the graduation, I had to have an interpreter to interpret what I was saying. So we see the importance of that. These people, as much as they wanted us to be there, and we loved being there, we had a great time there together, they wouldn't have had a clue what I was saying or trying to say to them had it not been for the interpretation coming. So the interpretation is important to interpret what is being said. So the intent of what's being said is important enough for you to be there and to give your spiritual ear to God and to listen. But many times we don't understand that there's an interpretation that flows out of that. Now granted, just like anything else that humans do, sometimes they're not right, sometimes there's error, sometimes there's a time of growing. And so I think the concern is in the church today is that we just won't use the tongues in interpretation because sometimes there's human error in that. Well, big news break. There's human error pretty much every single day, right? And so we still live. We still do the things that we do. And so in that, that's where God's grace and his mercy and his love covers over those things, and we grow in those things, right? And then we talked about discernment. We're to discern what is from God and not from God. So discernment works in that as well, to know what is the voice of God and what is the voice of the devil. But when the Spirit of God speaks, he's speaking to us. And in the church setting, it's to bring forth the interpretation so that we know what God is doing. And in that, God builds the church. He encourages the church. Now there are sometimes that you'll hear in a public setting, someone is speaking in tongues, and there's not an interpretation. Well, not always, but usually that is when, as we read a while ago, tongues comes to edify themselves. We've all been in meetings and services to where tongues will come and there's not an interpretation, and you say, well, I wonder what God is speaking. Well, it could be that person was receiving edification, receiving encouragement from God in that very moment. And so we're not to be disturbed when an interpretation does not come, and it could be that the interpretation will even come later. And so it's not complicated, but Romans 11:29 says this: for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God doesn't change his mind and say, well, you know, when I didn't realize it, but when I got human tendencies involved here, when I got human interaction involved here, it's not perfect, so I'm going to pull back that gift. But the spirit of the gift of tongues, the Holy Spirit working through the gift of tongues and interpretation, is important for us today. And I believe that we need to embrace it. We need to come into a place to where God will give us the ability. As I said when I started this morning, we need to develop these gifts. Starting out small, sometimes you're thinking in your own mind, that makes no sense at all, you dumb. What are you saying? But there's something being said in the Spirit that we many times do not understand, but God is speaking that. He wants to encourage you through that, and he wants to encourage the church through that. Who is the church? We're the church. The people are the church. So we're to encourage one another, as we read where Paul said he wants these gifts to be given for the encouragement of all. So how can we be used in the gifts of tongues and interpretation? Number one, we use our faith. We use our faith. You've got to use your faith because you're going to do something outside of your own self, your own comfort zone. So we've got to have faith in God and step out of our comfort zone. Do you remember your first day on the job that you're on, your first day? Were you a little nervous? Were you a little concerned, a little scared that maybe you couldn't do the job that you wanted to do? Well, of course, that's sometimes our human tendency. But then when it comes to spiritual gifts, we think that it should come naturally. And if it doesn't, we're to not operate in it. But our spiritual gifts have to be developed as well. And one way to do that is in a heart of faith, stepping out of our comfort zone and following God's leading in the Spirit to do things that we've never done before. And so talking about growth, this is a maturing message. This is one that we know what's in the Word of God, but how can we apply it and how can we grow in it? We've got to use our faith. We've got to use our faith. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, knowing that he's moving us to do something we've never done before. We can't operate by our own intellect. We can't figure it out. We can't say that, well, I'm going to learn another language, and then I can just talk in that language and act like it's tongues. No, we're talking in a heavenly language where we don't understand what we're saying except by the Spirit of God. And then secondly, obey God's prompting. We use our faith. We operate in faith. But then as God prompts us, as the Spirit of God prompts us to say something or to do something or to speak in tongues. It could be in private. It could be in public. Now, there's maturity in that. In that you say, well, if it's God's gift, I'm going to go speaking in tongues all around me 24/7. Well, people won't be able to understand what you're saying, right? And so there's a way to be effective for Christ and God, and to also operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And God will give us the wisdom to do that. But most of God's gifts, his promises, his blessings are all hinged on us being obedient to his instruction. So everything that God gives us, he gives us life eternal, but what do we have to do? We've got to accept him. We've got to receive him. We've got to confess him. So the promise and the blessing is there, but there's something that we've got to do. And so it really boils down, as Elder Andy was sharing a while ago, God is blessing Elder Andy, but the blessing comes after he's obedient to what God's told him to do. I mean, that's a sermon within itself, but really our obedience could be stopping God's blessing. Our disobedience could be stopping God's blessing. Our obedience is what opens the door to God's blessing in every part of our life. Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's only by the Spirit of God. You know, we read a couple of weeks ago where a man had come up to another and wanted to buy a gift from God. And so with his money, he said, "Well, I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So how can I purchase this gift?" Well, it can't be purchased. It can only come by one way, and that is to have a relationship with God. It's a true story. I guess some of us that are a certain age and older would remember the name Rex Humbard. Rex Humbard was a great evangelist from the 50s. He passed away in 2007, 88 years old. But God used him greatly, and he was an untrained speaker. He was an uneducated man by our definition. But in his early years, just after he had responded to God's call to preach, he was invited to Southern Louisiana to be in a meeting there, in a revival meeting in Southern Louisiana. And shortly before the service, believe this or not, shortly before the service, he found out he was going to be the one to speak that night. So he was going to preach for his first time this night in Southern Louisiana. So Rex Humbard got up to preach, and about halfway into his sermon, he spoke in tongues for about 10 to 15 minutes. Can you imagine the people that were sitting there just watching him and listening to him as he spoke in tongues for 10 to 15 minutes in the middle of a sermon? No interpretation of tongues followed. Then he resumed speaking in English when the altar call was given, and he asked anybody that wanted to come down to have prayer. They came and they were repenting. I mean, people just flocked to the altar. The altars were flooded. They were packed with people, as the story goes. They were repenting and praying. Other ministers, they were astounded. They were like, "What did he say that has this kind of, would account for this kind of response?" And this had been Rex Humbard's first time preaching, and apparently there was nothing outstanding about it. And so they didn't understand what was said until later on. So during the time Rex Humbard had lapsed in speaking in tongues for 10 or 15 minutes, it said that he was speaking in perfect Cajun French, the language of the Arcadian people that were present during that meeting that night. And only the people there that knew what he was saying. And so we don't understand, we can't put into words what God is doing, because we teach this on a regular basis. God's ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. His ways of doing things are much higher than our ways of doing things. And so we've got to trust God. In these last six weeks, I've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and talking about the importance of the gifts of the Spirit. But I want to end the service today and end this series today reminding you of the most important thing, and that is to have a relationship with the giver of the gifts. Unless we know the giver of the gifts, we can't experience the gifts of the giver. Unless we draw closer to knowing God and how great and awesome He is, the gifts will do us no good. See, we're not to seek the gifts. As important as these gifts are, and we've spent 6 weeks talking about them, as important as these gifts are, the most important thing is to know Jesus Christ, to follow Him. And as we know Him, as we get to know Him more and allow Him to be part of our life, as we abide in Him and He abides in us, then these gifts will flow out of us. Don't get too consumed with seeking the gift. And see, God wants to bless each of us in greater ways. In these days and weeks and even months ahead of us, we can make it victorious through those things, but the one key to all of that, the one key to all these nine gifts, the one key to even eternal life is only one, and that is Jesus Christ. We've got to seek Him. We've got to know Him. I love what one brother told me earlier this morning. He was talking about the attributes of God, and he said, "This one thing I have the biggest issue with, it's the hardest." I gave him comfort in saying, "You know what? That's going to be a lifelong thing for all of us. We've all got to learn to draw closer to God. We've all got to learn patience. And you know, we think we're patient today until something hits us from the right side and the left side Tuesday, and from the front on Wednesday and from the back on Thursday. I said, "Well, man, I must not have had much patience at all." But that goes to show us that that in this life, as long as there's breath in us, we can be even closer to Jesus than we were yesterday. We learn the gifts of the Spirit. We learn the things of God. We pick up the instruction of God. We're to be obedient in Him. And as we are obedient in those things, He will pour into us greater things that we ever have known. Just as Rex Humbard experienced this awesome miracle of 10 to 15 minutes of saying something that he had no idea, his first time preaching. And everybody sitting around wondering, what in the world are you saying? Use that to speak to a group of people that was there that had no way else of knowing what's being said, to encourage them. Let me tell you today that your situation that you're facing today is easy for God to handle. We just need to trust Him. We need to listen to His voice. We need to obey Him, follow after Him. And whatever it is that you're in need of today, Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. James 1, 17 and 18 says this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for His creatures. You are His first fruits today. He is proud of you today. He loves you today. He wants to pour Himself into you today more than ever before. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to draw closer to you. He wants you to draw closer to Him. I want to pray for you today, and pray that you will get a sense of how great God is. He's much bigger than what we see. He's much more mighty than what we give Him credit for. He's much more in tune than we could ever imagine. God is awesome. He's incredible. And He loves you. He loves you. We feel like we have to explain, God, I made this mistake. I did this thing. And He says that we're supposed to ask forgiveness and to turn from that thing. And He will answer our prayer. And He'll bless us. That's all we're required to do. Because why? We feel like we've got to pay the price for it. Not the price that He's already paid. He's paid a debt that we'll never pay back. There's not enough funds in the world to pay back what Jesus has done for you and I. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to draw close to Jesus Christ and pray that all these gifts that God has for us, that He's already imparted them, that we'll just receive them. It will say, God, develop these things in me. Develop them. Not that it's about me, it's about God. That I can give Him credit. Give Him do what He's do, because He's awesome this morning. Amen. Crystal, I want to ask you to join with me. We love y'all so much, and know that God has a plan for you.